Chapter 7. Author's Notes. Specific content warning in this chapter for fake flirting between cousins, discussions of non-con situations, and a dissociative episode. The event was presented as a charity gala, but it was really a chance for Bangkok's elite to conduct business in formal wear with champagne flutes in their hands. Kim had 3 deals he had to close on Kin's behalf, all of questionable legality. He'd memorized the details, the people, and the numbers. His father's staff had presented Kim with a suit made of delicate silk in a pink so pale it was almost white. It was soft and flowing, easy to slip on and off. They'd given him makeup to cover his bruises. There was a velvet box with a diamond choker and a whole separate box of rings. It was the kind of ensemble an Omega would wear to coax a room full of powerful alphas to smile at them. It was the kind of outfit Kim hated, the sort of thing he never wore. But today wasn't about what he wanted. Today was a punishment. Kim put on the clothes. He ignored Che's texts. He sat in the back of one of his father's cars and let it carry him to the gala. The necklace around his throat felt like a collar. He locked away P. Kim, who remembered drifting off to sleep under Che's gentle touch. He locked away Wick, who was so proud of his independence and his art. He locked away his Omega, who was so frightened it was making his hands shake. He wished his father had sent him to kill someone. Anyone. He'd rather have blood on his hands than this. He'd been given Kin's typical security detail, and so Big was driving with Pete in the passenger seat. He didn't know Pete very well, only that he was a beta who Tan-kun liked and Kin respected. Rationally, Kim hated them both. Big met his eyes in the rearview mirror when they arrived at the venue, one in a long line of ostentatious vehicles dropping off glittery guests.
"Kun Kim, is there anything you need?"
Kim snorted. It seemed to pain Big.
"I know this isn't."
"Stop the car and let me out," Kim snapped.
Big did. Pete slid out and took a position with the best sight lines. He didn't say a single word, and it made Kim hate him a little less. Kim had gone to these events when he was younger, before he'd staged a revolt and tried to make his own life. People knew him, flocked to him. From the minute he walked into the ballroom, Kim had hands on his body.
"Oh my, you've certainly grown," said a woman who he vaguely recognized.
Alpha, hand on his shoulder. Kim smiled.
"Thank you. It's nice to see you again, ma'am."
"It's about time we saw you at one of these things," said another woman.
Beta, hand on his elbow.
"We all miss your sweet face."
"Thank you. That's very kind. I'm happy to be here."
Man. Alpha. Shoulders touching.
"Weren't you doing some kind of hobby? Painting?"
"Music."
"You've grown up pretty."
"Thank you."
Man. Alpha. Hand on his waist. Woman. Alpha. Hand on his shoulder. Woman. Beta. Kissing the corner of his mouth. Kim wasn't a person. He was a beautiful toy that these people could fondle to their heart's content. It was what his father had meant to happen, sending him to an event dressed like this. And then, like a rousing slap to the face, He smelled spice and danger.
Kim?
Kim was fairly certain his empty shell had been holding a conversation with someone, but he turned towards Vegas the moment he heard his voice. His cousin was dressed in a black shirt so sheer it was translucent. His pants were tight enough that they might as well have been. The clothes served the same purpose as Kim's, just a different flavor. Vegas smiled at the group of people surrounding Kim, and the crowd leaned toward him, hungry.
"Excuse us for a moment."
His grip on Kim's elbow was bruising and familiar, and so Kim let himself be led away. Before they could go far, however, Pete appeared from out of nowhere and placed himself firmly in their path. He was smiling when he said,
"Kun Kim, would you like to come get a drink? They just brought out a new round of cocktails."
Kim's opinion of Pete rose a grudging notch higher.
"No."
"They look very tasty, sir."
"No," Kim repeated. "You can go back to your post."
Pete's eyes darted to Vegas.
"Don't worry," Vegas told Pete in silky English. "You can watch from over there."
Pete's smile never faltered.
"Thank you, Kun Vegas. I will."
Kim made the signal to stand down, and Pete obeyed, melting through the crowd back to his previous vantage point. Vegas sneered at his back, and then towed Kim to the fringes of the room.
"Now, what the fuck are you doing here?" Vegas demanded, his voice low.
It was a stupid question. Kim conveyed his judgment with a blank.
"I seem to recall that you very loudly declared that you were out of this scene."
Vegas was casual, but his grip was still crushing.
"I am out," Kim said. The words felt pointless.
"Foolish."
"I am."
"Who dressed you like that?"
"Who do you think?"
Vegas cursed.
"Where the hell is Kim?"
Kim growled a warning. "He's not part of this."
"Exactly."
Kim shook Vegas's hand off his arm.
"I've got to work."
Vegas rolled his eyes, but it couldn't hide how he was seething.
"Let me guess. You're here for Rashomon, West, and Kritivan, right?"
"And I assume you're here to fuck that up for me."
Vegas's face twisted.
"I was here to fuck it up for Kim, but Kim's not here."
The diamond collar was starting to choke him again. Kim tugged on it, but it didn't give.
"Okay, well, I have to go get groped by every alpha with a billion bot to their name. Are you done?"
"Very much so."
Vegas's body was a coiled spring. He had so much anger in him that Kim was honestly surprised more people weren't looking their way in concern.
"I am so done with this bullshit."
"Yeah," Kim said. He saw one of his targets across the room and slipped his mind loose from his body in preparation. "See you."
"Wait."
The tone in Vegas's voice was enough to yank Kim's mind back into himself. He turned back to face his cousin.
"What?"
Hatred simmered in Vegas's eyes. His smile was as vicious as a knife slash.
"Wanna fuck with people tonight?"
"I have to get this done, Vegas."
"We can do it together."
"What?"
"It's no big deal."
It was a big deal. The two families did not cooperate behind closed doors, much less publicly.
"Why would you do that?"
Kim demanded.
"Because it'll be more fun this way. I never get a chance to play with my little cousin." Vegas's tone was getting lighter and lighter, but his hands were fists. It will be better. Promise.
How?
One Omega is a target. Two are a fantasy. There won't be a single Alpha or Beta in this room who can think straight if we play our cards right. Vegas took a slinking, predatory step towards him. His quick fingers darted out and unbuttoned the top button of Kim's shirt. Kim could smell him, familiar and dangerous.
Come on, Vegas coaxed. Play with me, Kim Han.
If Kim had to go back into that crowd alone, he was worried he wouldn't be able to find his mind again at the end of the night.
If you're going to unbutton my shirt, do it while other people are watching.
With pleasure.
Vegas slipped an arm around Kim's neck, working on another button. Kim put an arm around his slim waist. They sauntered back out into the room together. The room looked back at them.
It was a whole genre of porn. Omega, Omega. It was the subject of erotic novels and arthouse movies that weren't shown in most theaters. So, yes, people were watching them.
Kim had never worked with Vegas like this before. But his body trusted him. His Omega trusted him. Vegas knew how to do this, and he was damn good at it. Better his hands on Kim's skin than these strangers. Vegas turned to whisper showily into Kim's ear. West first. Kim laughed, one of his trilling Omega laughs.
Sounds fun, he said.
Loud enough for people to hear. And, together, they moved. It stole Kim's breath, how easy it was to sync his gait with Vegas and flow with him through the room. It took less than 10 minutes for Mr. West, an alpha from the UK with his entourage of cronies, to agree to their proposal. Vegas did a lot of the talking in his flawless English, while Kim ran his finger up and down Vegas's arm. He did it absently, keeping his eyes innocent and his mouth parted. Vegas purred and pressed closer to him. At one point, Mr. West licked his lips.
Excuse me if it's an impertinent question. Are you two...
cousins, Vegas said sweetly.
Cousins, Kim repeated, trailing his fingers up Vegas's shoulder. Cousins, Mr. West breathed.
Kim was amazed the man's dick didn't shoot on the spot.
God, he hated these people. He hated this world. God. God, he hated himself.
But Vegas was right. It was better. No one else dared to touch either of them when they were together like this, and the scent of his pack Omega stayed close all evening. Sure, Kim had Vegas's fingers tucked into his waistband sometimes, but it wasn't like Vegas meant it. His touch was professional. They both understood what they were doing. Plus, Vegas had been right about one more thing. It was kind of fun to fuck with people. When an entire group of alphas stopped mid-conversation as they walked by, Kim actually gave Vegas a vicious grin. Vegas grinned back, all teeth. They were the Thirapanyakul Omegas. They owned this room, and every single motherfucker in it. Vegas had relaxed throughout the night just as much as Kim had. It made Kim wonder what Vegas would have been doing if Kim had been here instead. Vegas tucked his mouth close to Kim's ear.
Pick one for later.
Kim's blood started pumping in his ears. It could have been horror or excitement. He honestly had no idea. He knew exactly what Vegas would do to the person he picked. A better person wouldn't pick anyone. Kin wouldn't do it. Ten Kun wouldn't. Che never would. Kim tipped his head to one of the men in West's group. He hadn't taken his hot, greedy eyes off Kim all night. He wasn't important enough to have his own file in Kim's briefing. They were the Thirapanyakul Omegas. If they wanted to make a man disappear, they would. Vegas smiled, slow and expectant.
Good choice.
The chill of the sidewalk leached through Che's shorts. It was very late now, but the swanky apartment building he was currently sitting against lit up the night. He dozed a little bit, confident he'd smell Kim in his sleep and wake up if he got home. Che had been waiting here a very long time, but he didn't mind. Waiting outside Kim's building in the dark, chilly evening was vastly superior to spending another minute in the house with Kin and Porsche. Che was happy for his brother, but honestly, Hia, show some restraint. At least Porsche was distracted enough that when Che loudly announced he was going to a friend's house overnight, he had immediately agreed. Porsche had winked at Kin when he'd said it. Ew. But it was after 2 o'clock in the morning now, and Kim still wasn't back or returning his texts. Che knew he was being pushy and that way alphas could get, and he knew he should stop. But something felt off about this whole situation. Kim had been afraid last night about whatever was happening today, and then he canceled, and Che just needed to make sure he was all right. A flashy red motorcycle screamed down the street and skidded to a stop in front of Kim's building. The passenger got off and muttered something. Kim. The driver tipped his head back and laughed. He was very handsome. Kim was standing with his back to Che, and wearing an outfit that Che wouldn't have thought he'd wear. His hair had been blown wild by the ride, but of course it still looked good. From here, Kim looked exactly like what he was. Someone rich and famous getting back after a night of unwinding with his friend. His handsome friend who owned a motorcycle. Suddenly, Che felt like an idiot. He was hunched in Kim's oversized leather jacket, sitting on the ground outside his apartment like some kind of stalker. The intensity of last night had pushed the truth Che had previously known out of his head. Kim didn't need him. He had much cooler friends. The other man was talking.
Lost your touch, but no. You were impressive with that knife.
Shut up, Kim said, a hollowness in his voice that Che had never heard. The man said something in English that made Kim's back tense.
I'm not, Kim said.
Whatever you say.
Leave, Vegas.
Yeah. This was fun. Let's do it again sometime, Kim Han.
Kim watched the bike speed off down the street. And then he continued to stand there, completely motionless, like he'd run out of batteries. Che was maybe revising his previous sentiments. Not about being a pathetic stalker. That was probably true. But even if Kim didn't need him, He sure looked like he needed someone. Che got to his feet and walked towards him right as Kim turned around. At the sight of his face, Che let out an involuntary sound of distress and closed the gap between them in a flash.
"Pikim? Pikim, what happened?"
He'd seen Kim lock his expressions away and make his face cold and blank. That was fine. That was normal Kim behavior. But this version of Kim didn't just look blank. He looked empty. It was like everything that made him Kim had been sucked out, leaving his eyes dull. He barely had any scent at all. Kim stared at him for several seconds before saying, slowly,
"Poor Che."
"Yeah, that's right. It's me."
"What are you doing here?"
"I was worried."
Kim wasn't blinking.
"We'll talk later."
He tried to brush past Che, but Che grabbed his hand.
"Wait, are you..."
Kim yanked it back.
"Don't."
He took a step towards Che that was absolutely a threat. Che had never been scared of Kim. He wasn't scared of him now. But he was starting to realize that caution might be called for.
"No touching. Got it."
"Leave," Kim said in that dead voice.
"I really don't think you should be alone right now.
Who do you want me to call instead? I can call Porsche and tell him to send Kin."
"If you try to get Kin involved, I do not know how I will react."
The lack of emotion in that assessment sent a shiver down Che's spine.
"Well, I won't do that then."
"You need to leave," Kim repeated. "It was a bad day."
Che made his voice as soothing as he knew how.
"Bad days are when you need your people the most, right?"
Kim turned without a word and walked inside the building. Che couldn't think of a better alternative to following him, so he followed. Kim didn't stop him, even when Che ducked into the elevator with him. He didn't stop him from coming inside his apartment, either. Kim's apartment would have been a source of fascination any other time, but for now, all Che could focus on was that Kim was ripping off his clothes as he walked, leaving them behind him like a trail of breadcrumbs. He wished he was focusing on it for nicer reasons, but he was honestly freaked out. The pink jacket had red stains on it. It could have been sauce, but it wasn't. Kim stood in only a pair of blue briefs, motionless, eyes tracking every corner of the room. He had red stains on his skin, too, and it clearly wasn't his blood, because he wasn't wounded anywhere. Che swallowed.
"Move," Kim ordered.
Che, who had been standing in front of the couch, hastily scrambled to stand in front of the window instead.
"Not there."
Che shifted into a corner beside a chair with a guitar on it, and that seemed to be satisfactory. Kim walked over to the couch, felt underneath it, and pulled out a gun. Che squeaked. He couldn't help it. Kim checked the gun like Che had seen people do on TV. It had bullets in it. Kim put it back, and then proceeded to pull two more guns from a bookshelf and a kitchen cupboard, both of which were also checked and returned. And then, Kim stopped again. He stood, mostly naked, and looked down at his hands. He had blood under his fingernails. After Porsche's first professional fight,
He'd gotten home and just kind of gone away for a little while. His body had been sitting next to Che, but he hadn't been inside it. It was always scary to witness, but Che had done some internet sleuthing and had had practice since. He was pretty sure he knew what was happening to Kim. He didn't know why, but he didn't need to know. All he needed to do was help. "I like your apartment," Che said, keeping his voice calm and quiet. "It's a lot like what I expected. The colors, I mean. You always wear dark colors, so it makes sense your apartment would be like that, too. What's your favorite black thing in this room, Pekim? Point at it for me." Slowly, Kim pointed at the couch. At least, Che hoped he was pointing at the couch and not the gun underneath the couch. "It looks soft. Probably a lot softer than my couch. I hope you didn't mess up your neck sleeping there last night. Wiggle your head around for me, huh? Just to show me you can." Kim didn't wiggle his head, but he did tilt it. His eyes narrowed at Che.
"I know what you're doing."
"Cool," Che said, unapologetically. "I'm going to move, then. Listen to my footsteps. Count them, and tell me how many you hear."
3, Kim said.
There was a touch of something in his voice that might have been aggravation. It made Che's heart swell with hope. "I'm going to keep walking past you into the bathroom. Oh, this is nice, Pekim. Very consistent with the black theme. Towel, towel. Where's your... Aha." Che ran the hand towel under the warm faucet, then wrung it out. He didn't think it was helping Kim to look at the blood on his skin. "Coming back," he said, and then offered the damp towel to Kim. "Here, you can use this to wash off. I'm going to poke around in your closet. Do you have any more guns I need to be aware of?" Kim took the towel and shook his head. He ran the towel over his arm hesitantly. And then, like a switch was flipped, he started scrubbing his skin all over. Che left him to it and rummaged in his closet for a comfy long-sleeved black shirt and a pair of gray sweatpants. "Here," he said, holding them out to Kim. Kim looked at him, and for the first time that night, Che believed he saw him.
"You could put me in anything, and you picked these?"
"I mean," Che said, second-guessing, "they seemed like what you would pick." Kim snatched the clothes from his hands and pulled them on roughly. His scent was back, sharp and angry. That was a little nerve-wracking, but mostly it was good. Che would rather Kim be angry than empty.
"I hurt someone tonight," Kim said, a mean edge to his voice.
"Yeah," Che agreed, wondering when this had become his life. "You did that last night, too."
"Not like this. I chose this guy and baited him on purpose. And then I made him scream. I made him bleed."
Kim's eyes weren't dull anymore. They were alight with a terrible fire, fixed on Che. Che felt frozen under them. The voice of caution in the back of his head that always sounded like Porsche was telling him to run, Pop, run. He didn't.
"I don't feel bad about it," Kim said. "That's not the reason I'm... It's not the reason. Do you understand that, Porsche? I feel worse about the fact that someone called my music a hobby than the fact that I cut off a man's thumbs."
The mental image was honestly sickening.
Che wrapped his arms around himself without thinking.
You, Kim said, should go.
If you stay, I won't be nice. That startled the laugh out of Che. It was thin, but it was real. Kim, I like you very much, but you're, not normally nice. That tipped Kim firmly into pissed off, which was much easier to breathe through than whatever he'd been before.
Yes, I am.
He sounded so much like any other guy their age that it punctured the mystique.
You've been mean to me basically every time we've hung out.
Kim's outraged face was also doing wonders for Che's confidence.
I was not.
You had me make you breakfast like 15 times.
And then I bought you groceries.
Che had rescued those groceries from the driveway. Kim had bought him 10 pounds of coffee and an entire bag full of green bananas.
Yeah, no.
Che couldn't be scared of Kim.
I know. Plus, I saved your fucking life.
I know. I never said you weren't good.
Che saw the words hit. They rocked Kim back a step.
I don't care if you're nice. Actually, I like it when you're not, because that means you're being honest.
Kim was gaping at him, all his irritation and anger and blankness swallowed up in confusion. Che was pretty sure it was a positive development.
My brother, he likes things to be nice, Che continued. I just like things to be true. You hurt people, and you're kind to me. Both true. Something bad has been happening to you for a long time, and it happened again today, whatever it is. That's true, too.
Kim's eyes were growing wide with panic. Che made his scent as steadying and soothing as he could.
It's okay. You don't have to tell me about it. I know you probably can't.
A fine tremor ran through Kim. He looked at Che like he was his worst nightmare.
Leave, he croaked.
Che never wanted Kim to feel unsafe around him, obviously. But he was also not a saint. He was mesmerized by that tremor. He wanted to know what happened when Kim cracked open.
I think I'll stay, Che said.
Kim shook, a ripple all the way from his head to his toes. His scent rose around them, calling to Che. Che moved close.
Can I touch you?
Everyone else has.
I'm asking about me, P. Kim. Just me.
It really wants you to, Kim said, nonsensically. Fucking Omega. Fucking obsessed with you.
Kim, Che said, a bit more firmly. Yes or no?
Yes.
Che put his hands on Kim's trembling shoulders and drew him in. He tipped his head to the side, like that day on the street.
Sent me. Come on. It's okay.
Kim rested his face in the crook of Che's neck and breathed. He was rigid in Che's arms.
You have no idea who I am.
You keep saying that, but you're the one who's showing me new parts of you.
You shouldn't be able to see them. I don't know how you keep doing it.
I don't know how to stop.
Kim pressed his lips to Che's neck. His voice was the barest whisper.
Then don't.
He took a deep, shuddering breath.
Che, don't.
Author's notes. Kim, not being nice.
I'm not going to be nice.
Che.
Yeah, you usually aren't.
Kim.
How could you say that?